I notice you've taken to wearing a duck on your head. I absolutely love it. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women Over 40. Growing in consciousness so we can exchange hangovers for higher consciousness, one powerful snippet at a time. I'm Becca Jacobson, and I'm so thrilled to be here. Gals, this is going to be so much fun. We are on the second agreement in Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. We've looked at the introduction, how we all got all domesticated, and the agreements we made even though we didn't know we were making them. Last week, we looked at the first agreement and realized, oh, we got to be careful how we're using our words. Be impeccable, impeccable with your word. He uses big words, right? Impeccable. That's a scary word. He's not going light here. Impeccable is big. Today, we're doing the second agreement, which I love this. I absolutely love this, and I'm going to have some fun with it. The second agreement is, don't take anything personally. Holy catfish, gals. If there's anything we need to learn, it's this. Right? I mean, oh, this is huge. So I began this episode by saying to you, I notice you've taken to wearing a duck on your head. And I just wanted to let you know, I think it's lovely. It suits you. You look great with that duck on your head. Now, if I walked up to you and said that, how would you react? You would think, well, this person's lost her mind because there is no duck on my head. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. And you'd just walk away shaking your head and worried about my sanity and let it go. It would have zero emotional effect because it doesn't apply to you. You wouldn't take it personally, would you? You'd just know that she's not talking about me. I don't have a duck on my head. Gals, that's how I want you to react to everything anybody ever says to you. Just pretend they're telling you you have a duck on your head. Why? Because it's not personal, no matter what they say. It's not personal. And the only way we can make it personal is by allowing it to be personal. If somebody walks up to you and says, you're sure looking fat, it's not personal. But anyway, let's get to Ruiz. This is all me. We better get to the book because I'm just having way too much fun with this. Here is how he opens this chapter. And this chapter begins, in my book anyway, on page 47. Ruiz says, and I quote, whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. Using an earlier example, if I see you on the street and I say, hey, you are so stupid, without knowing you, it's not about you, it's about me, right? That's the same as the duck on the head, isn't it? Going on to page 47, continuing the quote, if you take it personally, then perhaps you believe you are stupid, or perhaps you believe there is a duck on your head. Maybe you think to yourself, by the way, the duck on the head, that was not in the book. I'm mixing up quotes and Becca adding her own. You know, you're with me. I'm not worried. You got this. Okay, carrying on with the quote. Maybe you think to yourself, how does he know? Is he clairvoyant or can everybody see how stupid I am? I really messed up that quote. So let me just give you the whole thing in one line so we don't lose total track of ourselves here. Here's what he says. If I see you on the street and I say, hey, you are so stupid, without knowing you, it's not about you, it's about me. If you take it personally, then perhaps you believe you are stupid. Maybe you think to yourself, how does he know? Is he clairvoyant or can everybody see how stupid I am? You take it personally because you agree with whatever was said. As soon as you agree, the poison goes through you and you are trapped in the dream of hell. What causes you to be trapped is what we call personal importance. Personal importance, or taking things personally, is the maximum expression of selfishness because we make the assumption that everything is about me. But it's not our fault, gals. That was the end of the quote, but I'm going to give you another one in 1 second here. It's not our fault. Ruiz sounds kind of harsh, but he wants the best for us. This reminds me of me. You know, I don't give you cream puff stuff here, fluff, because I want the best for you. He wants the best for us, so he doesn't pull his punches. Let's just finish that paragraph. During the period of our education, or our domestication, we learn to take everything personally. We think we are responsible for everything. Me, me, me. Always me. Nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in a completely different world from the one we live in. When we take something personally, we make the assumption that they know what is in our world, and we try to impose our world on their world. Even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and the opinions they give are according to the agreements they have in their own minds. Their point of view comes from all the programming they received during their domestication. So if someone gives you an opinion and says, hey, you look so fat, don't take it personally. Because the truth is that this person is dealing with his or her own feelings, beliefs, and opinions. Okay, I just read a lot, but we needed to hear it from Ruiz. You know, later on in this book, he says, if I walk up to you and shoot you in the head, I don't know if he says in the head, we'll have to have a look, but he says, if I walk up to you and shoot you, don't take it personally. Like, right? You're dead, but it wasn't personal. Well, that's how serious he is about this agreement. Nothing is about us. Nothing. Now, let's face it. This is hard. It's easy to laugh it off when someone says they like the duck on your head. But when they say, you're looking tired, you're looking old, you're looking fat, that's a whole nother ball game, isn't it? How the hell do we not take that personally? Well, the way we do it, gals, is we decide in advance, which is what we're doing right this very moment. We are deciding in advance. We're thinking to ourselves, I wonder if I could live like that. I've already decided I'm going to be impeccable with my word, assuming you are. Maybe I can also decide that nothing, nothing is about me. I love how at the bottom of page 49, Ruiz says, you eat all their emotional garbage and now it becomes your garbage. But if you do not take it personally, you are immune. Little further on, he says, whatever you think, whatever you feel, I know it is your problem and not my problem. It is the way you see the world. It is nothing personal because you are dealing with yourself, not with me. Others are going to have their own opinion according to their own belief system. So nothing they think about me is really about me, but it's about them. So I think we can all agree with this. We also probably all agree that it's not easy, not easy at all. So like everything else we talk about here, it's a practice, right? It's not like, okay, now you know, so you better just stop. It's just going to happen automatically. We're going to feel insulted. But if we're starting to live in greater self-awareness, which is really what emotional growth is about, it's self-awareness so we can watch ourselves and we can practice this stuff. That's all it is practice. Nobody's got this down pat. It's practice. And so once we've decided to do that, we're on the right track. That's really all it is. The answer isn't some complicated thing. It's like, you know what? I'm going to do my best not to take things personally. And when I feel myself insulted, I'm going to stop, take that nice deep belly breath that Becca taught me, and I'm going to feel my nervous system settling, and I'm going to open my heart to forgiveness for this person who is obviously suffering in their own world, or they wouldn't be lashing out at me. It might take hours before you're able to calm down. It might take hours before you even recognize, oh my goodness, I took that personally. It might even take days. But the key is, eventually you notice. That's what self-awareness is. And as we move through the stages of emotional maturity that we talk about here in Snippetland, we get better and better and better at seeing our own responses. We get better, gals, at self-awareness, which is the key to growth. But listen, Ruiz is not done with us yet. There's a second part to this that's going to blow your mind. If you haven't read this, it's going to blow your mind. And maybe even if you have, because maybe you missed it. Check this out. On page 54, oh my goodness, get ready. Hold on to your knickers, gals. We're going hardcore here. Quote, even the opinions you have about yourself are not necessarily true. Therefore, you don't need to take whatever you hear in your own mind personally. Oh my God, I love that. I love that. We know that our thoughts are basically garbage. We talk about that all the time here. I will say to you, your thoughts are just memories from yesterday. All the mind is just recording what you heard yesterday or last year or last month. It's just garbage. 90% of the crap in your mind is garbage. It's just not true. It's yesterday's news. It's worry. It's garbage. Unless you're being intentional about your thoughts, you just got garbage roaming around inside your mind. And if you're insulted right now, I'm going to refer you to the second agreement. So this is so beautiful. So obviously, Ruiz agrees with me when I say that, and I've said that lots here. Maybe not enough, to be honest, but I've said it. He agrees with me. He's saying to us, you don't even have to take personally what your own mind says, because it's garbage. It's nonsense. On the next page, Ruiz says, we have a choice whether or not to believe the voices we hear within our own minds, just as we have a choice of what to believe and agree with in the dream of the planet. Gals, on our journey to sobriety, this is so important. Because you know what? A lot of times, we're insulted, we've taken it personally. Anything, let's put it this way, anything that makes us emotionally upset, anything that makes us feel anger or any of the negative emotions will make us more likely to drink. And because that's how we self-soothe. If you're not very far along in your sobriety journey, or if you haven't even started it, it's to your benefit to learn how not to be emotionally upset and learn how to manage it without alcohol. So simple practices like this. Now, I said simple, not easy, right? There's a difference, but it is simple. You're just watching for it. Simple practices like this can help us to stay sober because we're not walking around grumbling, I can't believe she said that. I cannot believe she said that. It could be 3 days later and you're still like, I can't believe she said that. Why? What was she? Like what? Well, screw her. I mean, just like, did you hear what she said? Yeah, that's what she said. I mean, whatever. This is how we react. Here's a story. I just thought of this. I hadn't planned this. I got a story for you. Oh my God, this is going back a good 20 years and I still remember it. I'm still upset about it. Uh-oh, the cat's out of the bag. I went into our local health food store about 20 years ago. And there's this mature woman behind the till. She was probably my age that I am now. I was about 38, I guess, or 40 or whatever. And I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I had to. And I walked up to her and I said, can I please use your washroom? And she looked at me and she says, look, it's all the way downstairs, you know, at the bottom of the stairs, and it's kind of hard to find. So why don't you just go somewhere else? And I was like, I got to go, you know, so I'm a little tense. I said, that's okay. I can find it. Just point me in the direction. She says, look, just up the street. Another block is a Subway. Just go up there. There is no way I could have walked up to Subway. And so I argued back with her. I said, I really need to use your washroom. You know what she said? Boy, you're a real cow today. I'm not kidding. That's what she said. You're a real cow today. Gals, I've never seen this woman before in my life, which is kind of weird. I remember thinking, who's this woman? Because I'd been in that store before. I don't live in a gigantic community, and I'd never seen her before. So here's a woman I've never seen before who says, you're a real cow today. She calls me a cow. I'm a customer. I mean, there I am. I got a piece so bad, it's not even funny. And not only that, gals, but in all likelihood, I'm hungover. Remember, this is 20 years ago. I was not nowhere near sobriety, and I was nowhere near emotional maturity. Let me just put it this way. She's lucky I didn't rip her face off. For 20 years, I've been taking that personally. I am so glad I thought of this example, because it's time to let it go, Becca. Right? I mean, I should have forgotten about that years ago, but there it is, still in my mind, right? Well, there you go. There's proof that this is not easy. Simple, but not easy. And like I say, I had no intention of sharing that, but I don't regret it, and I'm not going to cut it. It's for you. It's a gift. I think it was worth hearing that. It's a great example of how we carry this on and on and on because we're touched personally. She insulted me. I was insulted. My feelings were hurt. Well, Ruiz is saying, enough already. Now, as I say, gals, not easy, but very simple. So it's just a matter of self-awareness and making a decision. Am I willing to try this? So there it is. Whenever you catch yourself taking something personally, take that nice deep breath, throw those shoulders back, give some love and compassion for the person who gave you the whatever it was, because they're obviously not feeling great themselves. They're spewing their own emotional garbage out on you, even though it seems personal. And then remember this, it's just a duck on your head. Every time you feel insulted, just say to yourself, I don't have a duck on my head. I'm good to go here. Okay? Hopefully that will help. Gals, we're running a little long on this snippet, but I got to give you a little more from Ruiz. He says on page 59, almost near the end of the chapter, the whole world can gossip about you, and if you don't take it personally, you are immune. Now that's power, right, babe? That's power. I got to practice this. You got to practice this. We're in it together. And I want to remind you, I think for me, of what jumped out the most for me in this chapter, well, I don't know, kind of equal, but don't forget, you don't have to take personally what your own thoughts about yourself. So if a thought comes up about you, I'm fat, I'm stupid, or why did I fail again? I'm a failure, or I'm whatever thoughts that might come up, don't take them personally. Just see them, let them go with compassion and love and patience, and give yourself a heart hug. Because remember, you're choosing not to take anything you hear personally, whether it comes out of someone else's mouth or your own mind. And on page 60, right at the end, Don Miguel Ruiz gives us an assignment. He says, write this agreement on paper and put it on your refrigerator to remind you all the time, don't take anything personally. And then he tells us the rewards of this practice. As you make a habit of not taking anything personally, you won't need to place your trust in what others do or say. You will only need to trust yourself to make responsible choices. You are never responsible for the actions of others, and you are only responsible for you. When you truly understand this and refuse to take things personally, you can hardly be hurt by the careless comments or actions of others. If you keep this agreement, you can travel around the world with your heart completely open and no one can hurt you. You can say, I love you, without fear of being ridiculed or rejected. You can ask for what you need. You can say yes or you can say no, whatever you choose, without guilt or self-judgment. You can choose to follow your heart always. Gals, oh, love this book. I'm having so much fun with it. Thanks for coming on the journey with me. And today, here in Snippet Land, I have an announcement to make. So listen up. If you're following along now in the Ruiz book study, pay attention to this, please, gals. We are doing these on Mondays, right? Well, next week, I'm moving it to Wednesday. So we're going to do the next agreement, the third agreement, but not until next Wednesday. And here's why. Because I have something really exciting for you on Monday. And why Monday? Why? Because Monday is December 1st. Now, let me back up and tell you what I got brewing for you in Snippet Land. I'm so excited that I don't want to wait. That's for sure. I've decided that on the first of every month, or as close to the first as I can get, because I publish Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, on the first of the month, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to announce a theme for each month, and I'm going to give you a supercharged little mini assignment to help you start each month fresh. Right? Each month. Like, I love beginnings. My clients know this about me. I love new beginnings. I love mornings. I love Mondays. I love the first of the month, right? But we can start over anytime, and that is true. But for some reason, there's a subconscious connection to a fresh new beginning. And so on the first of each month, I'm going to give you different types of exercises to help you reset for that month and help you start over or continue your journey. This isn't about alcohol. It's not like every month on the first, I'm going to say, okay, time to quit drinking. No, that's not what we're doing. Okay. So I'm going to give you a theme for each month for the foreseeable future, along with a practice that you can do to start your month out strong. And just so happens that December 1st is next Monday. So I'm reserving the right to use it for December's theme and December's fresh start. And we'll do Ruiz's third agreement next Wednesday, December 3rd, instead. Now, last week I closed the doors for a few days on the sacred mirror to give myself some breathing room. But guess what, gals? The doors are open again. The sacred mirror is open this week. So go to the show notes, tap the link, share a little bit of your story with me and only me, and I will turn on my pink microphone. Yes, she's pink. And I will send you back a voice note in the form of a reflection. A reflection, not advice, not a sales pitch, a reflection from Becca based on the story you give me. The sacred mirror is open. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.